Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is all of it. Musicians are trying to find all kinds of workarounds to get their music to audiences during this time of social distancing. And a really great way, really the only way, is to catch live performances on social media. Online concert catalog Bands in Town is running its own music marathon on the streaming platform Twitch, and Pitchfork hosts artists on its Instagram to perform every Wednesday and Friday. And just last night, Brooklyn singer, songwriter, and guitarist Vilry took center stage on his Instagram, performing his original songs with a signature old school sound. If you browse Insta, you can even catch Vilry debuting some new songs along with sheet music that you can learn to play at home. Both Vilry and singer Rachel Price joined us last year for the debut of their self-titled duo album, featuring original songs influenced by swing percussive sound of Tin Pan Alley. In the artist's description, the album recalls both the warmth of radio's golden age and the intimacy of parlor concerts in a time before recordings. Even if you missed out on the show last night, you can listen in now to our conversation with Rachel and Vilry, featuring a special live performance back at the WNYC studios.
This one is called Alone at Last.
Once was agoraphobic, Times Square would make me gasp. I let full trains go past. With you, I feel alone at last. Parties would make me nervous. Spent all night filling my glass. Smoke cigarettes on the grass. With you, crowd is crowded out by the love that I feel. And there's a certain kind of peace in knowing everyone is going away when you come into view. John Paul said help was people. I mostly agree with that. But one person does get a pass. With you, I feel alone at last. With you,
know each other, you met in school, right?
Yeah.
Rachel, what did you think of Vilry's musical taste, of his performance when you first met him?
I don't think I knew his musical taste when I first met him. We met in college, so this was when we were both, you know, 18, and that's not what we are now. I don't think I didn't know that Vilry was into jazz from the 30s and 40s at that time, because we were both entering a very avant-garde sort of contemporary jazz program at the New England Conservatory. So I wonder if Vilry was similar to me in that he sort of kept it a secret. Because I grew up singing traditional jazz, what they often refer to it, but, you know, jazz from the 30s and 40s. And, you know, we were entering a jazz program that was definitely sort of not really acknowledging that. They were starting more at bebop. And we, yeah. So did you keep it a secret?
I mean, I think, yeah, coming out of high school, I'd been into the 30s and 40s and the swing era. kind of at the beginning of my high school career. And then by the time I got to college, I was deep into the late 60s, early 70s in terms of my jazz tastes. So I don't know that I was keeping it a secret, but I think it had kind of, that stuff was a little dormant for me by the time I met Rachel.
What awakened it?
I started playing music in the subway. I had been working sort of a factory job for much of my 20s. And I started going to the subway to busk, mostly just to kind of build up the strength of my voice. It's a good place to do it if you're trying to sing a little better. Singing somewhere very noisy is good. I just started playing kind of songs that I remembered, songs that I knew by ear. And a lot of those were 30s and 40s pop songs.
How about for you, Rachel? When did you realize this was something that you wanted to pursue, this particular era?
I've been singing and learning this music since I was very young. It's what I first started with. I was, you know, very enamored with big band musicals from the 30s and 40s, like the stuff with the Glenn Miller Orchestra. And I was in love with Ella Fitzgerald, and I mean, I still am. So this is really the foundation of my singing. And I went to school for it, and then I met my bandmates in Lake Street Dive, and it went in a very different direction, and I've developed a totally different style of singing. And it wasn't until I saw Villery sing in a bar about 5 years ago doing this type of stuff that I was like, this is some of my heart music. This is what I grew up on. These are my grandmother's favorite songs. She taught them to me. My father's favorite songs, he taught them to me. This is what we played in our home growing up. And that's why I asked Villery to let me do the songs with him. I was like, will you let me just come to this same bar and sing these songs with you? Because I miss performing this music. And he said yes. And now that was like 4 years
ago.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You mentioned that you went in this different direction with Lake Street Dive. How would you describe your technique singing with that outfit, mm-hmm. and then what you do with Villery?
The physical technique is quite different. But I learned a lot of, I copied a lot of pop singers when I got older. That was sort of my method. I just found a singer and I would just essentially imitate them until I sort of understood where they were placing the note and, you know, sort of what part of their face they were singing in.
Can you give us an example?
Like Ella Fitzgerald is placing things in a more relaxed part of her face, you know, like what's a song that Ella Fitzgerald sings all the time?
A tisket,
a brown and yellow basket. I sent a letter to my mommy. On the way, I dropped it. Probably one of the first songs I ever learned when I was like 7 years old. And then, you know, I started studying like Stevie Wonder, who's going to put it in a completely different part of his face. So he's going to put it more in like the front, like where in the nose and the nasal. He's going to be like, a tisket, a tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I sent a letter to my mommy. On the way, I dropped it. So pretty different. That was
an excellent class.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, that's, I think being a good singer and part of the fun of being a singer is learning all of these ways to mm-hmm. imitate. I think an actor would do the same thing when they learn to do impressions. They learn the physicality of how to imitate somebody. And that's something that I've always done and always been interested in. And Lake Street Dive has always been really fun for me because I'm taking songs from, you know, three different songwriters and hearing the way that they're singing them and then translating it to a stage and translating it to the musical genre that they're relating it to, whether it's like a pop or like a rock song or an R&B tune or whatever.
My guests are Rachel Price and Villery. We're talking about their new album. I've been throwing it around, Tin Pan Alley, Tin Pan Alley. When you have to explain to people what Tin Pan Alley is, Villery, how do you describe it?
It was kind of the industry of songwriting in New York City during the early 20th century. And it actually goes all the way back to the 19th century. But before records, things were published as sheet music. And the Tin Pan Alley scene was kind of selling people sheet music to play on their pianos or the ukuleles or what have you at home, and people would buy the sheet music, and so they would constantly, there was a constant demand for songs. So all these songwriters wrote kind of in the same couple of blocks, I think in the West 20s in New York City. And so I kind of, I find a lot of inspiration from those people who were writing for musicals and writing for specific recording artists once that got underway.
Rachel, is it all that different from pop music today?
No, it's really not that different from pop music today. I mean, people, pop singers are singing songs written by other people, many other people. Mm-hmm. And
written for specific people by specific people. You know, yeah, a lot of people have their writers that they work with. And
yeah.
And a lot of writers write for a big variety of musicians.
Yeah, it's a tried and true method.
Yeah.
Can we hear another song?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. This one's called Let's Make Love on This Plane.
The law forbids it, but let's do it all the same. Darling, let's make love on this plane.
You come to know me between Washington and Spain. Darling, let's make love on this plane. When Wilbur pulled on his Santa stick and gently took to flight, sweet Arvo couldn't treat his older brother right.
With clouds beneath us and our engines all aflame, darling, let's make love on this bump. Chicken, let's start taking all the blame. Oh, darling, let's make love on this plane.
Oh, darling, let's make love on this plane.
Okay, let's dissect that song for a minute. Because it's got this great swing, nostalgic musical vibe, but then this incredibly modern lyric about, you know, the Mile High Club, basically,
sure, sure.
Right?
Yeah. Let's get into it.
So as you're writing a song like that, how are you thinking about this sort of postmodern approach?
Well, it's funny that you say that it's postmodern or even modern, because I feel like jazz songs are dirty, and I think they a lot of them have a lot of humor to them and a lot of sexiness to them, and you know, sometimes I mean, I guess they're probably usually a little more masked than that, but for me I was just trying to write something that I thought Ella and Louie could definitely sing, and I that's the way I hear that song. I can totally see that as an Ella and Louie duo, and I think they would even be into it. I don't think they would object to the sort of dirtiness of it.
Let's say saucy.
Yeah.
As you're writing this music, what is it about Rachel's voice that really works with this style of music?
Well, she understands all the idioms and, you know, just like the little nuances of style. But also, she can sing in all sort of different kinds of styles. I'm not interested in having a band that is like an Ella Fitzgerald cover band or, mm-hmm. or trying to occupy that space in a modern world. I want us to be able to sing songs that are like the Mills Brothers and like Sinatra and, you know, like, you know, all kinds of Peggy Lee. You know, there's such a variety of voices that exist in that time. And Rachel really understands what songs need what. And this, I'm pretty proud of this record for its diversity of sounds, both from the way we, the instrumentations we used on different songs, but also just Rachel's nuances.
My guests are Rachel Price and Vil Reed. Before I let you go, would you mind doing one more song for us?
Sure, yeah. This is Do Friends Fall in Love?
Something new, and I know you felt it too, when we fell into the passion of a kiss. Around the world, we've shared these roads together. Every journey is grand, when you're holding my hand. Do friends fall in love like this? A look that once was merely warm now blazes with an ardent desire. A touch that once was just a touch burns hotter than a 5-alarm fire. Oh, say you're mine for all our days to follow. What was innocent before has become a grand amour. Two friends fell in love like this. With an ardent desire. A touch that once was just a touch burns hotter than a 5-alarm fire. Oh, say you're mine for all our days to follow. As friends we lived before
and we'll live evermore.
To Together, two friends in love.
That was the song Do Friends Fall in Love? And my conversation with Rachel Price and Vil Reed about their self-titled debut duo album.